Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The exhortation today is titled, "The Five Battles Every Man Must Win." Hallelujah. The five battles every man must win. But I will not go into the entire battles, the whole list. I will most likely go into just one or two. The five battles of the over the destiny of every man. So this is big. All right? Are you ready?
Yes,
praise the Lord. Now, how many of you remember that the man Abraham was referred to as the friend of God? In fact, we are all called the children of Abraham by faith. Are we agreed?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Abraham will be our prototype today. So please, I want you to stay with me. Now, some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you, I don't want you to look at what I'm going to be sharing today from the position of somebody who is without solution. What I'm sharing with you today is because there is a solution. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So most times when we talk about deliverance, a lot of people think it's about the deliverance. It's not about a deliverance. It's about God's power. All right. The reason why we preach deliverance, Jesus, our Lord, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to what? To heal the sick and to deliver the oppressed." So deliverance is part of our assignment as Christians, as ministers of the gospel. So don't let anybody deceive you, because depending on where you are coming from, you might actually need deliverance. You might need more than giving your life to Christ. That's what I'm telling you. You might need more than giving your life to Christ. You might need to renounce certain things. Talking about bloodline patterns and all of that. But today, let's just touch one or two areas. Five battles every man must win. Let me just give you first of all the list, and then I will just explain one of them. Number one is the battle of identity. If you are writing, I want you to put it down. The first battle every man must win, if you want to matter in this life, if you want to matter in this life, is what? What did I say? The battle of identity. Who are you? Who are you? Number two, the battle of inheritance. Everything about scripture is about inheritance. Jesus dying and resurrecting was to purchase for us an inheritance. For instance, part of what Jesus provided for us when he died and resurrected was the power to use his name. Are you with me now? Before Jesus died, you could not say in the name of Jesus. And when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm not even talking about that name, Jesus, because that is not really his name. That is the way they spelt it. All right? If you look at the name in Greek, it has a different rendition. If you look at it in Hebrew, where it came from, it has another rendition. But for the sake of our conversation, let's stay with Jesus, all right? So what I'm trying to tell you is that it is not because it is Jesus that the name works. It is because God is the Father has highly exalted him. Come on now. The person that we refer to that bears that name, when he obeyed God, what did God do? God now exalted him. You know, when he came to the world, he came as a man. Are we together? So he died as a man, then resurrected, glorified. But when he went to heaven and presented his report, "I have gone and I have achieved everything." And please understand that the challenge God has with almost everybody that came before Jesus and everybody that has come after Jesus is that most people don't finish their assignment. All right? So even when Paul will say, "I have finished my course," Paul will get to heaven and realize he didn't finish. But Paul tried. Jesus is the only one we know of record today that has actually started and what? Finished. That is why he is our perfect example. If any man finishes the way Jesus finished, we will have two Jesus. And it's not just the way Jesus finished, it is the attitude with which he finished. So when we say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you must understand that every time you call that name, the heavens react. Come on, are you here now? Are you still here? I say every time you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, what happens? The heavens will react. The hell will begin to shake. But you see, this depends on the revelation and the understanding you have. Because everybody knows Jesus died to save us, right? Even the demons know and they tremble. Why is everybody not saved? Why is it that even those who say they do not believe in God, it is only when they are praying they shout, Oh God! They don't believe in God though. And then you realize that, from my experience, I've seen young ladies who are not pastors. I've seen young men, young boys. Boys, so I'm talking about 16, 17 years, who are not pastors. But when I saw them pray, the result I saw in their lives, I didn't see it with many pastors. Come on. Everything you see in the spiritual realm that works for you, that you know about God, is because you caught a revelation about it. You may know it, but you may not have caught the revelation. The scripture says, and when thou hast found it, it says, your expectation shall not be what? Shall not be cut off. So you need to find it. So the first battle here that every man will face is the battle of what? Of identity. The second battle is what? The battle of inheritance. And the third battle is the battle of the bloodline. Bloodline battles. Bloodline, but those are battles that are inherited. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to offend anyone. But because you are born into that family, you will have, if you are lucky to discover, you need to fight that battle early. For instance, I have seen guys who are born, male children, born into a particular family. They became Christians very early. But their father beat their mother and married a second wife. This brother is now a Christian. He's beating his wife. And he's also saying, worst case scenario, she will go, I will marry another wife. He has forgotten that the only difference between him and his father is that he is born again. Please, are you with me? So, closing your eyes, shutting your eyes to this reality will not help you. Somebody whose mother gave birth to her and she died at the delivery room needs to pray. Don't say, when I grow up, I'll pray. You need to pray until God gives you a witness that matter has been settled. If you find that in that part, that thing has happened at least twice in your family, you need to pray. Because there is something that is called random selection. Have you not seen families where something will plague everybody, then get to one child, skip the child, then go to the next one? Aha. So the reason why I'm sharing this with you is not so that you'll be afraid. It's to know that in Christ, come on, say in Christ. In Christ, these matters can be completely resolved. There are people who are plagued by generational poverty, but they are not aware. They think the reason why they are poor is because they are in Nigeria. Are you with me? Please, are you with me this evening? There are people that are poor. It's not because they are not working hard. And it's not because they are in Nigeria. They are born here, or in Mende. The reason why they are poor is because in the bloodline, there's a covenant there that supports it. So that is, you don't need to pray. You don't need to help such a man with money. You need to deliver him. Because any money you give him will be wasted. So we talk about battle of the bloodline. Number four, the battle for your assignment. People who are called to specific ministries to serve God, or to occupy certain areas in the economy as ministers of God. Daniel was not a pastor, but he was a prophet in the marketplace. Joseph was not a pastor, but he fulfilled his ministry in the marketplace. Being a pastor is just one of the things you can do for God, but God doesn't want everybody to be pastors. So don't worry. If you don't want to be a pastor, even God doesn't want you to be a pastor. Don't worry. We are fine where we are. God has called those of us who are interested. And those that will be interested tomorrow. I don't know what will happen to the next generation. Don't worry. The person who started this business knows how to get them. My children, I don't know if they will serve God. Don't worry. Just pray for them. One day your son will just go for one meeting somewhere and the Holy Spirit will come upon him. They will call you that, your son has transformed. But the boy was in your house, so as a pastor, you couldn't convert him. Some of you you lived under Christian homes, but it was outside you gave your life to Christ. Abina? So we are talking about the battle for your assignment. When you are talking about your assignment, if you read through the scripture, you will notice that Jesus fought this battle. From the very first day, there was a battle over his life. He has not even started as a baby. Just born into the world. The enemy came after him. What's there? Is it Herod? Herod came after him. But it was not Herod. It was the spirit of Satan. Using men. Some of the people you are fighting, saying she doesn't like me. It's not the person. There's a spirit. There's an agenda that Satan found that person useful enough to carry out in your life. That person is not your enemy. And the person will be acting discreet. The person may not even know why she hates you. When Jesus was going to be crucified, Satan wanted to make sure that he attacked him from different angles. So he got the soldiers, your job is to arrest him and kill him. He got Judas and said, you are going to betray him. The essence of the betrayer was not so much about handing over Jesus. It was about making Jesus enter into offense. And once Jesus enters into offense, his blood will not be pure enough. Come on now. Are you seeing something here? He will not be our merciful high priest. You will not be able to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. And you say, this blood is not clean. Look at all the attacks. And the most powerful attacks are very quiet ones. What's wrong with this screen? The most powerful attacks are the what? Very quiet ones. They will just become, you won't be sure, is it sickness, is it malaria, is it? The thing will just be there, launching and marching forward. Jesus had the battle of rumor of war. They were always coming, they are coming here, they are coming after you, they will arrest you, Pharisees are meeting, Jesus was hearing everything. Then Satan used Judas, his treasurer. Just like saying Pastor David Olakole. For you to keep the money, you must be trusted. It's not because you're a pastor. Many pastors can't be trusted. Many pastors can't. You can't give money to them. Many people who speak in tongues, you can't leave money with them. Many people who had 1-0 in the office on the, they go to church. They are lay readers. They are deacons and deaconesses or diaconi. So it takes a lot to be a pastor, David. I call it, amen. Jesus did not choose Peter, even though Peter was bold. He said, this one, that's my treasurer. That was where the enemy came from. Jesus was still resolving that. He now brought Peter again. Satan plotted that graph in such a way that if you miss this one, you cannot miss this one. If you miss this one, you can. At the end of the day, we will get you. And they got him. But he maintained his innocence. You see, anywhere you are, you must always maintain your innocence. Don't lose your innocence. Your sense of innocence. Because when God wants to allocate mercy, one of the things he looks at is your heart. Come on, are you here now? I'm still in introduction. Number four. What did I say was the number four? The battle for your assignment. Number five, the battle for your marriage. These five battles, if you have to face them and you succeed, the whole world will know your name. Yes. And the heavens will know your name. Let's read the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13. Let's be very fast. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, are? It's amazing that Jesus, who knows all men, who doesn't care about the validation of men, is now asking, who do men say I am? Maybe we have been preaching all these days and people feel that we are just one evangelist. No, I'm not. I'm the Son of God. So let's be sure that we are, this feedback time now. Are we really communicating? This pastor has been coming here for the last 9 years. He has been preaching on this altar. Who is he? Is he a comedian? Or is he a prophet? Alright? So what are you exactly? Because now we notice you sing with different people and you are traveling and doing so many things. We see your vibe, but we are not hearing scripture. We are not hearing any Bible verse. We just hear, I am the war. I am the war. So now, who are you? So Jesus, the man is my friend. Jesus said, who do men, can you imagine that what men say about you can actually limit or enhance you? I don't care about nobody. I was only what God says about me. My brother, you will not go far. What people say about you matter. Waiting people talk about you matter. If you're a good man and people say you're a bad man, many people will just be looking at you from afar. And they'll say, they say na bad man. Some people say, make we they look and face. We never sure. Make we no go give her money. We no go see money. We no go see work. Huh? Jesus, our own Jesus. Huh? Do you know there are churches where at the end of the year, they give the church members form to appraise their pastor? His message is everlasting message. Oh. They'll put it there. He does not rest. They'll put him there. Change him. Don't want him again. There's one pastor in Osun State. Ede, one CSC pastor. That's how the church members gang up against him. They said they should remove the man. Because the man was only, any small thing, prayer. They said this man will use prayer and kill us. Any small thing, prayer. And it's not small, small prayer. If you say you want to travel, daddy, I want to travel to Abuja for business. So I want to buy market. He will say you should kneel down. You pray. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Hey, I want to go and enter motor. Just pray small prayer. The man will pray. So the elders gathered. They went to report him at the diocese in CAC, the one that they report to, that they should remove the man. So they removed the man. The man, they just packed his load. He did not even shout. He just went back to where they posted him to. They now brought another one. Meanwhile, this one, God wanted to use this one to punish them. So this one, when you come now, say, daddy, good evening, sir. Daddy, I want to travel next week. I say I should come and see you, so you pray. The man just look at you. You want me to pray for you? Where you came empty-handed. Empty-handed. You come before a man of God. Go out of this place. Now we'll now go outside. There are those people that sell things around the church gate. They will buy orange, buy gari, buy something. Now say, daddy, I'm sorry. It's not like that. Kneel down. The one that was doing it free, they pursue him. God now say, wait till now I go see. I go show na pepe. Give them another person. What do men say I am? If you don't know your identity, you will suffer. You will allow what men are saying about you to move you. You will allow the validation of men to either take you forward or erode you. Somebody don't look at you. Who told you are fine? Finish. You will never believe you are fine again. If somebody tells you are not fine, tell him too, you are ugly. So let the thing he gave to you, give it. Whatever you sow, you reap. So you give it back to him. Somebody told you, say, you are a baby. You are being like you don't have future. You do not take him. Meanwhile, you just met the person last month too. Somebody just met, told you don't have future. You do not even sit down. You are crying. How is that information supposed to help you? If somebody says you are not fine, no future, block him. Leave the guy. You are there. You are not crying. Meanwhile, the boy has gone to eat shawarma. Who do men say I am? Verse 16, verse 14. And some said, this is what the disciples were telling Jesus. They said, some people say that you are John the Baptist. Please, look at what I'm saying. Some people said, Pastor David, some people said, this John the Baptist they are talking about is a man of God, though. When they said, some people say, what they are trying to say is that you look like John the Baptist, who is a man of God. The John the Baptist that they did not believe. You better know what you are doing so that you will not die early. Then people will not say, and he was a man of God, though. Including the people that do not believe you. Stay alive. Tell your neighbor, stay alive. Don't let the validation of men disrupt you. They say, give me that scripture. They say, some people say that you are John the Baptist. Is that not supposed to be a commendation? Okay, let's take it further. Some people say you are Elijah. Do you know who Elijah is? Elijah did not die, yo. That's how anointed he was. God said this one cannot have too much power. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Oh yeah, keke no. Chariot. Poke. They carried him. If there's any man of God in Nigeria today that a chariot takes to heaven and he did not die. You see, that church will blow it one day. Like, you just remember. They will now say, chariot of fire ministry. What do you mean? Our man of God is not an ordinary man of God. Chariot. No graveyard. You see the way they'll be talking. Even if I'm the one. From heaven, if you don't talk, I'll be shouting there, me. I will carry my cross. If people don't want to recognize me, I'll not die, yo. I'll not die. Now this church, they preach for Sunday when chariot carry me. Elijah. Elijah was a wanted man. When he was here, he was a wanted man. Nobody, the king didn't like him. Give me that scripture. Jeremiah was locked up, the crying prophet. If the guy prophesied, they shout, go and be crying. One day Jeremiah said, I will not prophesy against these people. All of you should go and die. I will not prophesy. Jeremiah said, I said I will not speak in his name again. Then his words came. Locked up within my bones. Do you know what it means? The prophecy, he began to feel it not only in his spirit, inside the core of his being. Like fire in his bones. So if he does not prophesy, he will not feel okay. Come on now. That's under level. That even when, you know, some of you, when you want to prophesy, you say, let me control myself. Let me control. You can't, the one that happened to your mind, you can't control. It's fire. That's the person they are comparing Jesus to. They did not believe John. They did not believe Elijah. They did not believe Jeremiah. And they will soon kill this one. Give me the next scripture. 15. Then he said unto them, you that have been following me, who do you say? Forget about these people. You have been with me, Pastor David. Who am I? Or Charles? Pastor Tokwe? Forget about this. You. Because Jesus wanted to enter another level with them. But he needed to be sure. The question of identity had been settled. The battle of identity is the first battle any man of destiny will fight. Many of the things that are causing depression, some of you say, my father disowned me, that's why I'm doing. Hello, go and fix your identity. You are not the only one that didn't have a father. So if after 30 years you are still talking about this, your father, you need deliverance. Yes. Yes. Oh, I was rejected. I had to sponsor myself through school. Madam, you are not the only one. Brother, not be only you. Some people had the same experience and they used it to become great in life. The only reason why that thing is not a problem is because you have identity crisis. If you go into the ministry as a man of God and you don't fix your identity crisis problem, you will be the one to leave the ministry, not Satan. Satan will not need to deal with you. Because the day you come and you see 500 people in the church, you say, oh God, hallelujah, praise God. We are moving to permanent site. The next day you come and see 50, you have heart attack. Elijah, as powerful as he was, did not have one good member, only Elisha. And Elisha himself is the assistant pastor. You understand? You know that kind of church. The only member in the church is the one that is taking announcement. And yet, he was so powerful. His anointing could heal the nation. And yet, he only had one member that was useful. Come on, say identity. Come on, say identity. This identity is a serious matter. The reason why many people are struggling, give me Matthew chapter 4. The reason why many people are struggling today is because they don't even know who they are. They don't know. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be what? Turned to bread. What was the battle here? It was the battle of identity. Come and prove to us, if truly you are the Son of God, prove to us by turning these stones to bread. And Jesus' response here is that, I am the Son of God, I don't need to turn it to bread. If you have to prove to anybody that this is who you are not doubting. Are you here now? If you need to prove to anybody that you are a great man or a great woman, or you are not, because it means you are below that person. That's why you want to prove yourself. Great men don't prove themselves to lesser men. Great men don't prove themselves to lesser men. By Jesus refusing to yield to this temptation, he proved that he was greater than Satan. You must not fall into that temptation. This was the first temptation he faced, too, about his identity. There are many of you, as younger people, when you are children, God revealed himself to you, or maybe you went for a program somewhere, and there was a prophetic word about you, about your destiny. And then because challenges of life came, you now felt like, God has forgotten you. Then Satan will be talking into your head and say, if truly you are a child of God, if truly you are a child of prophecy, all these things that they have been saying in 1997, 98, 99, 2000, this is 2024, why are you not seeing anything? What was the response of Jesus? Very quickly. Jesus said, it is written. Now, look at the response of Jesus. If you are not careful, you will think that he was talking about bread. The question that Satan posed to him was that if you are the Son of God, the response of Jesus is that man shall not live. Which means the question of identity is the matter of life. Hello, are you here now? The question of identity is the question of your existence. It's the question of your existence. There are people that died at 33 and they were buried at 75. At 33, their destiny was finished, but people saw them walking up and down, taking bus from Oshodi to Orile, and people saw them on the road, but they have been dead because from 33, they could not tell that man shall live by bread. He shall not live by bread alone. A lot of walking corpses everywhere, hustling, fighting conductor, struggling, hustling for dollar. How much is dollar? How much is a lot of dead people. But physically, when you see them, you say they are alive. The question was on what is identity. If truly you are the Son of God, do you know you are the Son of God? Okay, if you are the Son of God, perform this miracle. And Jesus said, look, man shall not live. If you look at it, it almost looks like the answer does not match. It's not the correct, should not be the correct response to what the question was. But Jesus said, give me that scripture. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. It was a question. Stay on this scripture. It was the question of his existence. I am here today and I'm alive by the word of God. I am not here to derive my essence from how much I make or how much I can eat. The Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. If you are someone that defines your life, or you think that you are doing well in life because you have money, or you think that because you can afford everything and you give yourself everything, the scripture says you are already dead. Because this life is not about pleasure. Come and say, I hear you. This life is not about pleasure. You can have all the money and God will not know you. Satan himself will not recognize you. Even Satan will say, this one, we never gauge. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeded. The word proceeded means it's a continuous present tense. It's not just like, 3 years ago, God told me to come to Lagos. No. Is God still saying so? What is God saying now? God. That means that you cannot say because you heard God 3 years ago, you now say, no. Everything God says to you is a continuation of the last thing he said. You are the one that is not seeing the connection. Just the same way when you read Matthew chapter 4 verse 3 and 4, you may not see the connection between the question Satan asked and the answer that Jesus gave. Satan questioned the identity of the Son of God. So, I'm going to stop here because of time. I will come back. We'll still talk about this one. Let's go to the second one. The battle of inheritance. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Listen to me. What I'm sharing with you now, if you understand it, Satan will lose his power over you. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse 36, Genesis 27 and verse 36. Now, in this story, there was a quarrel. I'm just paraphrasing. There was a quarrel. Do you know this brother, these two brothers in the Bible, Jacob and Esau? They are twins, set of twins. But who was the older? Esau. And Jacob was the younger. But in the story we are told, Esau took the birthright, right? Now, from what we've read, some of us, even during children church, we were told that it was Jacob that stole the birthright, right? Even when we preach, we say it. But is that really true? Did Jacob steal the birthright of his brother? No, now. See, now the boy said it. Now he said his brother stole. You say, if they ask you to tell us what happened, two of you are quiet. You will tell us the one that favor you. Is that not so? You will not tell us the other side. Look at what the brother said. Give me that scripture. He said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me. That was some plant. Means cheated. He has cheated me two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Two different things, birthright and blessing. He said, as thou not, he was talking to his father, as thou not kept a blessing for me. So there are people that look at you and they think because your name is Yvonne, that's why you are behaving the way you are behaving. He said, is his name not Jacob? Nobody will give her a name. And I don't see Peter, Kevin, Stephen, Osemudia, Oworo. You did not get good name to give. You say Jacob. And literally, when you look at him, that's his life. Cheat. He doesn't believe in hard work. His own is also. He will just come here, look. Enter the market. If you drop your head, he will carry it. He doesn't have time for. He said, life is not by working hard. It's by working smart. That's Jacob. So the brother is angry. I will come after this series on wealth and wisdom, and we'll talk about this. But I will now show you who the real thief is. But that thief is not Jacob. Now, this is the story. This brother had no sense of destiny. What is this second point we are talking about? We talked about the battle of what? The first battle is what? Identity. The second one is what? The issue here, do you know that in this story, his father still prayed for him? Hello? But he had no inheritance. His father prayed for him, but he had no inheritance. This brother, brother Esau, it was later in the New Testament, the Bible told us why he was rejected. Who knows why he was rejected? One of the reasons why he was rejected is because he was a fornicator. Are you still here? People will just make it, I don't know what I did to him. After all I've done for him. Madam, cool down. Let's open the fire. Ali Mason Tayedeba. We are coming this evening to church. And I had to park on the road to, just gauge my tire. And I told my wife, I said, this guy gauging tire will come and this is what he will say. My wife did not believe it. I was just looking at the guy. I just looked at him and I knew what he was going. The moment he finished, he just came. He said, sir, what for what? I tapped my wife. I said, here. I said, sir, you know, sir, I'll be a prophet. That thing he said, I don't need information for anything. But I still knew. You can notice in the marketplace, oh, you can know where your colleagues are coming from. Some of them slept in the shrine overnight. You can know. When they are coming, God will say, this one is shrine. Oh. But you know, if God has been trying to train me how to speak, how he speaks to me, that experience I had today would have been a good way for me to learn. So that tomorrow when he tells me this, your friend is coming from the shrine, I will believe. So he will use some case studies, user case examples. He will put me in a life scenario. This lesson that many of us have not learned is why we are struggling with hearing God today. Because some years ago, we found that we were having some of these experiences, but we did not build it. You started talking to people who say, oh, it doesn't matter, just reading the Bible. You now lost a very rare gift that will save your life. This particular brother lost the inheritance, not because it was meant to be so, but because he was a fornicator. But that's not just the issue. The issue here is that there is a battle for... Oh my God. Who is the first son of Abraham? In Iraqi. Ishmael. Let me show you something. This thing that is worrying Jacob is not about that food, the pottage. It's a generational curse that was in the bloodline as inheritance. Let me show you something. In Genesis chapter 19, Genesis chapter 17, very quickly. 17, 19 to 22. Genesis 17, 19 to 22, very quickly. Look at the screen. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for what? What did God promise Abraham? He said, I will establish my covenant with who? For and what? Everlasting covenant. And with his children. After him, next verse. As for Ishmael. That means the conversation was, there was something they were talking about. And God wanted to settle his mind. This is where I'm standing on this matter. Do you know God? Do you know if you really settle with God? God can give you some information like you just know that this thing, there's no way here. This one, there's no way here. The problem is that most of us do not, and I will come, if you people remind me, after this, I will come and explain how the spiritual realm works. Why many people cannot negotiate. We are too lazy. We don't know what it means to sit down until God says, oh yeah, stand up. You think because you prayed that you've prayed. The only way you know you pray is when God talks. Come on, say, I hear you. Give me that scripture. He says, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. That means the brother was interceding for Ishmael. God, don't, you know, there's that thing about, hey, God, don't let my certificate be a waste. I know you want me to be a pastor. I know this. There are some things that you've put so much effort to in the past. You understand? You've put so much effort. You don't want those things to, that's what Ishmael was. This man was praying. I know you say you will bless Isaac. You will do this for him. But don't forget, this one too is still my son. Still walking in that Ishmael was a weakness in his life. Because he knew how Ishmael came. Ishmael, he was not forced. He was the one who saw the girl and he went. So, in a way, he cannot abandon the boy. Because the boy is his responsibility. Baba, please, I know you want to bless this one, but if you can do something for Ishmael, I won't mind. Give me that scripture. He said, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have already blessed him. Look at what God said, though. I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. Is this not the blessing that we are looking for? Exceeding blessing. Can you see your screen now? He said exceeding blessing. He said 12 princes shall he beget. And I'm tempted to almost think if you count there are 12. It's not today. God thought about them. And we have 12 princes. And I will make him what? Next verse, quickly. But what? Listen, covenant is more than blessing. Listen, covenant is more than blessing. Where blessing will fail, covenant will stand. When you can no longer pray, and it seems that you are weak, because God has a covenant with your life, you will see God just says, okay, this one, exempt him. Exempt this one from death. There's something I have with him. You yourself, you'll be saying, Father, if this is the way I will go, I give you all the glory. God said, You and who? I have a plan for your life. It's not about you. You cannot die here. God will carry you on his shoulder and take you out of that place. You want to die? Can't die here. Your mother promised you to me. You want to go? You can't die. You can't die here. After all the anointing and everything, I have seen your children. He said, Father, if this is through this sickness, shut up. That will be talking rubbish all the time. Oh yeah, carry him. You don't know God, though. He's God. If God looks at you and takes interest in you, my brother, you are made. Look at it. He said, but my covenant, I will establish with Isaac, not Ishmael. Which Sarah shall be unto you at this set time next year. God told him when the child will come. Hello? This is where I'm going. Please pay attention. The first son of Abraham failed to inherit the promise. Who is the first son of Isaac? Esau also failed to inherit the promise. This is the battle for inheritance. You just find yourself, or something just happen, you make a mistake, they disqualify you. And in case you think it was a mistake, who is the first son of Jacob? Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are the first of my children. He said, you will not. It was even the father that cursed him. By the time the father was cursing, he forgot about the curse. That even him, was a beneficiary because his own brother failed. It may happen under different circumstances, but you will see the thing to be repeating itself. Don't close your eyes. Don't shut your eyes when you see pattern. Don't shut your eyes. This thing is beyond a spiritual battle. It's battle for inheritance. God has seen what you will become. Satan has seen what you will become. And you are the only one who is not aware. This is the father of faith, too. Abraham. See his family. Very special. Father Abraham has many sons. See them. All of them, firstborn failing. We are children of Abraham by faith. Hallelujah. As long as you believe in Jesus, everything shall be all right. Oh God, calm down. I hear you. Before we reach that place, let's finish reading the Old Testament before we enter Matthew. I said the man you are saying, even in Isaiah, God said, look unto Abraham, the rock from which you are. Before you finish down, go and check the man God is talking about. All his first sons did not do well. Even after Moses came and reversed the curse on Reuben, Reuben still did not do well. That's how powerful. That's how powerful the curse his father gave him. What was the sin of Esau? He, apart from not valuing his spiritual, his destiny, he was a fornicator. Women. What was the crime that Reuben committed? He slept with his father's concubine. Women. Everywhere you see pattern, don't say it is the blood of Jesus. Address it. Go and start asking questions. Somebody here now. You need to ask so that you know. The Bible says, whosoever ask shall what? Shall receive. If you knock, the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. The first letter of ask is what? The first letter of what? Of seek is what? And the first letter of knock is what? Ask, seek, knock. Look at the acronym, ASK. That means after you ask, seek, and knock, then ask again. Because you will need clarification. Your destiny needs clarification. Your destiny cannot be a 1 minute reel or short. Your destiny cannot be 1 minute video on Instagram. Your destiny needs explanation and detail. The people who sat down to write and put this thing, they have conversation with you. Paul said, he said, 48 later, he said, I went into the third demons and I had a conversation with those whose gospel I represent so that I will not run in vain. It's possible to run in vain, even though God called you. Are you here now? Hallelujah. They failed, though. They failed. The battle of inheritance. The battle of inheritance is a very significant battle that you must fight. And can I tell you, and I've said it there before, it's not your inheritance because you are the first child. In Africa, it is the first one that we take everything. But it's not like that in the spiritual realm. It's not like that in the spiritual realm. It's not like if a person is the first son, but that curse is in his life, anything you give him will be wasted. And he will be explaining. He will have English. If you ask him, he will tell you, this is why I failed here. This is why I failed here. You see, this one, I was supposed to go to Cambodia. Then something happened. He will just be explaining like an educated fool. Because a lot of people that are under course, they have explanation. They have good explanation. They say, wow. So that's why you failed. Wow. Okay, this message is a summary. All right? But are you getting anything?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you. When Jacob made a mistake. Jacob thought that the blessing Jacob thought that the blessing was what his father gave him. Yes. But you see, the inheritance, it was God that gave him. Because the inheritance was not promised by Isaac. It was God. It was God that said, I will give you a son, and his name shall be Isaac. It was not Abraham's power that made Sarah pregnant. It was faith. It was faith. The power of faith. So what the father can give to him is to lay hands and bless him. But you see, that one that God promised Abraham. Please, are you with me now? That one that, you know, there are some of you are here now. You are not aware you are Jacob. That you are another Jacob. Because the people who knew your prophecy, they are dead. The people who were in church on a you know, sometimes when we have naming ceremony, baby dedication, I prophesy. But some of you, including the parents, they have forgotten the prophecy. My last son here, this guy at the top. When we had him, Pastor Ayo came to the hospital, and when he held him, Pastor Ayo said, "Oh, Naphtali." That was the prophecy. That was one of the blessings that that was given to the tribe of Naphtali, the boy himself. He said, "You are like a lion that crushes." Huh? He doesn't know. The boy is sitting here. He's even, look at him now. He's busy with his best friend. He's not aware. It's possible that you are not aware. Your parents pursued money till they forgot the prophecy. Do you know that one of the marks that you are a child of inheritance is that you have warfare from when you are a child? That thing you are thinking that it is Satan is a lie. It is a marker. It's a genetic marker to tell you that Omo logo near, you are a child of glory. That's what it means. There are, maybe we should do another session. I'll come and I will list genetic markers of how you know sons of inheritance. Most of the time, they may not be the first two. But many, not that they cannot be the first child, but most times it doesn't follow. But you will see them among, if there are five children, you will see that this one, she's alone. If you look at the other ones, their life will go in a particular direction, smooth. You see that one, she will stand alone. She may know a kind of suffering the younger ones may not know. Come on, are you hearing me now? Please, are you with me now? Because some of you are like Jacob, but you are not aware. You are not aware that the day your parents gave birth to you, a prophet came to the house, picked you up, and shouted, "Oh, Naphtali!" It might have been a CAC prophet or one Asian prophet, but a word was given. Now, Mama is dead. Nobody remembers the prophecy. You are now left alone to begin to fight, to look for remedia. There's something used to call remedia in those IGMB in those days. When you can't go in through jump, you now do remedy. Pre-degree, remedia, they call it different names, to try to remedy the defect because an information has been lost. Meanwhile, when a word is spoken and it reaches the earth, it will not die. Oh, because God said, the word that I spoke will not return to me void. Which means the moment the prophetic word is given and you are not there, the prophecy will now begin a remedial process of looking for you. looking for you. And many times you begin to find yourself having some kind of experiences till now. You will not get the prophecy in one moment again. They will now begin to organize some experiences until maybe at the age of 27, you just wake up. I know who I am. The Bible said Moses, he grew up and then told himself, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected it. But when he was growing up, they told him, this is your mother. The mother was not even allowed to tell the boy, I am your real mother. But it came into his heart. There's a day you will wake up and tell yourself, I cannot be like this again. I cannot be like this again. The inner man will wake up. That one that carries the prophecy will wake up. Those are the kind of prayers you need to pray. Because that thing, you cannot recover in the flesh. You cannot recover your prophecy in the flesh. You must pray and ask God, wherever that prophetic word is, let it find me. The Bible says, Joseph was left in chains in the book of Psalms. Joseph was left in chains until his word came. Until the word of the Lord, that means when it was time the word of the Lord began to travel, he went to his father's house, they didn't meet him. They say he was somewhere, he was working as a servant. They didn't find him. Ramos etaine mekabaya. Rasha teba liba. We move. They found him in the prison. Ah, you are here. They saw him in chains. Meanwhile, in the physical realm, that's not what they saw. What they saw was a man that was forgotten. What they saw was a man that his friends were telling that, don't worry, when I get to Abuja, I will remember you. I will tell President Tinubu that there's one man here that can help him. Those ones got there, started eating breakfast and lunch. They forgot about Brother Joseph. God will not allow any man take glory over your life. You must understand that as long as you are still waiting for one man, God will put you on pause mode. He will put you on, you have not learned your lesson. The battle for destiny can only be fought with God holding your hand. God must be the one holding your hand. That's why you don't look at people and you say, oh, because something happened to you. Wise man, the moment you do that, you have not learned your lesson. You repeat class. Come on, say, God have mercy. Come on, say, God have mercy. I am telling you some of the prayers you need to pray. You see, when people say, oh, I cannot pray at night. I will, please, if you remind me. No, I'm giving you messages now. Are you here now? All this message I'm giving you. If you people remind me, between now and the next 2 months, I will come and tell you how to pray with the watches and the kind of activity that happens when you pray with the watches. But somebody should remind me. Because as I'm talking, I'm seeing how this message will connect other things. There was a man in the Bible. He was a child of sorrow. When they gave birth to him, the mom spoke some negative words that affected him. Some of you are not aware that when your mom gave birth to you, your mom was shouting your father's name and cursing him. Some of you are not aware that your father wanted a male child. And when they gave birth to you, your father came to the hospital and said, rubbish. And he walked out. They had to force him to be a man, to sit down at the naming ceremony. He was not happy. That is how your life started, with rejection. And you are now wondering why you want to marry. Every time there's problem. The rejection started from your father. Your father owes you an apology. These things are spiritual things. Unfortunately, many of our parents don't remember. As far as they are concerned, they were just trying to be good parents. All right? But it doesn't cut it. Anything you see here has happened in the spirit realm. Anything you see with your two eyes here has already happened in this. If it doesn't happen there, you cannot see it here. Don't be careless. That brother, the mother spoke negative words. What's that his name? Jabez. Jabez. Oh, it's a child of sorrow. And they made him bear that name. Ah, young man, very handsome. How are you? What's your name? I'm child of sorrow. Eh? By the time he takes you to the house, mommy, I've met somebody I want to marry. Yeah, very nice. He's even a soldier. Young man, you look very athletic. You know, my mother-in-law likes people that are fine. So I didn't know until I got into the family. But thank God I passed the test, you know. Don't come and give birth to ugly grandchildren for us in this house. We need to look at, are you tall? Are you bogwe? What's your name? You come the see mother, see father. What's your name? Yes, I'm a captain in the military. What's your name? Child of soul. Say child of soul. Is that like a nickname in the military? Or he said, no, that's my name. Okay, my daughter, please see me in the room. So you will be bearing Mrs. Child of Sorrow. Ogunyimika. Ifayimika. Ifaloshele. Falola. All those names, powerful, powerful Yoruba names. Some of you know the ones in your language with Amadio and everything. They just joined the name. My daughter, we don't see your sister. Her surname is Ayola. See this one. Her surname is Michaels. See this one. Her name is Jesu Bemi. See this one. It's a robot. This one you have brought to this. Say, Daddy, I love it. What? I will disown you. Do I look like a man of love? Because I play with you. What? I'm a man of war. I am the war. I am the catastrophe. I am the badagry. If you try me, I will show you who I am. I say you cannot marry someone. I say you love him. Do I care about your love? The boy's name was Sorrow. How did he get his deliverance, Pastor David? He prayed. Come on, say prayer. See, for your prayer to be effective, it has to be specific. You cannot just be praying like this. Like, can you please admit that you are not okay? A lot of people pray, but they have not admitted that emotionally they are damaged. They have not even had, Holy Ghost, sir. Oh, God, speak English. Why are you here? Let me get to bless God. Okay. Thank God you came. You are not all right. You want to be a doctor treating people, but yourself, you are sick. You are like the doctor that my family doctor, Dr. Joseph, is dead now. Very dead. Benga, you must not smoke. Cigarette is very bad. Dr. Joseph. Sorry. Mr. Chaffee, let me just put the ashtray away. Benga, are you sick? What's the problem? I'm just looking inside the ashtray. He said, no, don't do that. That's not for you. You can't do that. Okay? Can't do that. Mr. Chaffee, I hear there's going to be salary increment. Somebody's with ashtray piled up at 9 a.m. Because I have to see him very early in the morning before so I can go back to school. 9 a.m. See ashtray. Filled. Benga, my boy. How are you? Fine, sir. Don't smoke. Don't drink. He tells me that thing every time. But that's what killed him. A lot of people are trying to preach messages for which they themselves have not recovered or mastered. You need to go and commit yourself to God in the place of prayer. Many times when you begin to see God like this, you will need to do it alone. Many times. Because there are people you will talk to, they've not lived in your reality before. They don't know what it means to be rejected by a mother. They don't know what it to be rejected by a father. They don't know what it means to be born into a family and you never met your parents. They don't. A lot of people you are talking to don't know what it means to hustle for everything you get. That nobody gives you anything free. They don't know. Say, don't worry, Jesus has done it. Hallelujah. Eh? You say, Jesus? Yes, he has done it, sir. But what do I now need to do to assess what he has done? Say, my boy, just believe. That brother, after rejection upon rejection, maybe 7 women have left him. He now realized that he has to change that name. Huh? But changing the name is not necessarily changing your name physically, like changing the spiritual etymology and DNA of that name. There is a cost that follows that name. That's what we need to deal with. And the boy said, God, I'm a child of sorrow. If you can do something with me. And God delivered him. There was a particular brother, also a soldier in the Bible, Jephthah. He was going to fight a battle for which he was not equipped for. And he looked at the matter. He said, this thing, we are going to lose men. and I'm the commander. You know what it means to lead people and you come back with only half. It's a burden that many leaders carry. It's a burden that many pastors carry. Many times we don't show you our tears. I was talking to one of our members in church here who lives in the UK. We were talking like sometime last week. Yeah, last week. Mid last week. As early as 8 a.m., he called me. We were talking. He came from the UK. And as we were talking, I was crying. You know, our pastor, I said, don't worry, I'm fine. It was what we were discussing, you know. And I started weeping on the phone. The person that is discussing with me, he wasn't crying. He was calling me to beg me. But I remember something else. When he was talking to me, I started crying. I was on the express. I had to pack. For those of you who want to be leaders, you must know the burden that comes with leadership. It's not a nice one. It's very heavy. Because many times you will suffer for things you have no business suffering for. This brother Jephthah, he knew he was not going to survive. He went to God and said, if I go and I come back, whatever comes out of my house, the first thing I see, I will give to you. Can you say that? God collect your wife. May God collect your wife. Say, go and be staying in the house of God 24/7. Don't resign from your school. Come and sit down in Maryland and be offering prayers. In this economy, the only thing you are doing is you are praying. You say, God said you should. My wife, I know you say you hate God, but I'm your husband. I will go and discuss with God. We will release you from this. Because this one now, only me said I can't never balance. You now, you say you know one work again. That means now I'm going to kill us for this. Now one chance. The brother went to the battle, came back complete. Let me tell you, when you are fighting battles that are beyond you, let sacrifice go ahead. Let sacrifice go ahead. It's a spiritual law. For the same reason God could not say, let everybody be born again, he had to put his son on the altar. It's a spiritual law. Many people are praying, but very few people are making sacrifice. That's why even if you go to Abalis, they will tell you, make sacrifice. It's a spiritual law. Both in the spirit, on God's side, and on Satan's side. It's a law. Everybody knows it. You are weak if you have nothing that has left you to God. And you say you are a Christian. You are weak. Your voice is weak in the spirit realm. Your voice is weak. Every time God promised Abraham a child, he will raise an altar, put a sacrifice there. Even though he was not happy, he kept doing it. He kept doing it until one day God came to him and he passed through the sacrifice and said, for 400 years, your children will be slaves in another man's land. Then God started prophesying to him. But why did he make that sacrifice? Because he was childless. And God came and started prophesying to him 400 years from that into the future. God was telling me why the boy was a child, just one child. Meanwhile, God was seeing far beyond that. I've seen your child. I've seen your children. Okay, stop praying. There's a level you can pray to and your prayer will become unbelief. There's a level you will pray to. It will become clear that even you don't believe. The weapon of prayer is the weapon of masters. That's the weapon of masters. If there's anything you are seeing in your life, you take the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the most prized article in the spiritual realm. The blood of Jesus is the most expensive article in the realm of the spirit. Don't engage altars. Don't engage strange altars. If there's anything you have seen in your family, don't try to erode it without the blood. Listen, the blood is what the spirit realm recognizes. Anywhere there, especially when it involves lives, human lives, they will take blood for blood. And you have the blood of Jesus. Don't be careless. Don't go there and be saying, God, I did this. Your righteousness doesn't mean anything here. Your righteousness doesn't mean anything here. Take the blood of Jesus. When you died, you said every curse, every yoke has been removed, has been taken. But I am still suffering from this thing. So now, Lord, apply that function. Have you, when you check your laptop sometimes, you try to change some settings. At the end of the day, you see apply. Yeah. Huh? Are we together? Then you now see okay. So if you click okay and you don't click apply, sometimes you are on your own. You need to click apply these settings. Sometimes you download a software, you will now see the software, there will be a pop-up. Do you want to make changes to this computer? You will click, some of you click no. When you click no, but if you click yes, it will now begin to install. You will now have access to the application. Listen, you need to apply the blood. Any area that you are seeing, okay, yes, I'm doing well in this area, but this other area, something is not really jiving. You go before God, go with fasting, go, oh my God, no time. Are you listening? Are you tracking? Are you here now? Don't pray like a weakling. Pray like somebody that has a covenant. Listen to me. You are already in Christ. You have every right to demand your freedom. Because in the realm of the spirit, you are a child of God. You are a prince. You are a prince and you are a priest. You are a king. So you have no business carrying this blemish. You have no business carrying this same sickness. If your grandmother had cancer and your own mother had cancer, you have no business with it. You have to go and say, Father, I insist. Apply. Apply the blood. We are here telling people the power of sacrifice, telling people the power of pleading the blood of Jesus. People came out and say it's not in all those things. Do you see young boys and young girls on Instagram and on TikTok, on Facebook, advertising spiritism and herbalism and witchcraft? Don't you see them? Some of them will tell you are going to church. Come, let me help you. They say, what I will give you. Some of them will quote the Bible. They will tell you when your enemy will lay you in the way, you should settle with him before you get to court. Come, let me help you settle with your enemy. That's what they tell you. This evening as I was coming to church, I got a message from one of my pastors who is like a spiritual son to me. And he told me, say, Pastor, look at this lady. He sent me the lady's picture on TikTok. I said, I don't know. He said, this lady used to be one of your head ushers. She's now a herbalist. She has changed. You know, when we did school, we did suffer. But now, Odudua is prospering. And Obatala is doing well. I saw her dancing in front of the altar with cowries and making it. I said, Edosha. Ah. She said, Pastor, there was a time I brought her to you. I said, I said, Pastor, let's start praying. This one now, it passed me. My sister, in case you are thinking it cannot happen, she was head usher. They saw that people before they chose her. She looked very gentle. Now she is going online. She closed her Facebook account. Now left the one for Orisha. On Facebook, you will see her Orisha something. That's the only thing she has. But she was in the church. She was our head usher. Always wearing white and all these Oshun things and dancing. Listen to me. If you say you are in Christ, you don't deal with pattern. That thing, most likely, somebody in their family line was dedicated to that altar. Do you understand? Somebody, maybe a grandmother or great, then she says she's going to church. Now there's problem in the family. They say for us to resolve this problem, bring the girl. They will not tell the girl. It's one God all of us we are serving. No, we are not asking you to do bad. No, we are not asking you to keep us. No. Look at what is going on in the family. We want to offer you to the deity. People are offering their children to deities that mean nothing. Paul said to us, idols are nothing. Yet people are taking children that are graduates. Say you will not work again. That girl is not working again. If I show, oh my God, I feel so bad. If you see the girl's profile, everything, she's in front of the altar. Somebody's just with a camera. She's doing incantations. She has become, hey, Dosha, how come? Meanwhile, your own pastor is a full-time pastor. I say, Pastor, you should get a job. Monday to Friday, you can get a job. You don't have to depend on the salary of the church. This girl that is there 24/7, is she working? Is that in a job to her? Do you think you can match her? Because those that know their God shall be strong. You go Monday to Friday. It's only on Sunday you remember your Bible. This one, every morning, that's our life. If you want, come, I'll show you a TikTok account. I say we have been deceived. You cannot advance in the spirit realm without sacrifice. You cannot advance in the spirit realm if you don't give yourself over to spirit. Either you give yourself to God or you give yourself to Satan. If you think everything about life is by praying and asking God, give me, you don't know God. Give yourself to Him, then see Him take over. He will choose your job. He will choose your wife. He will choose your husband. He will choose the kind of money you will have. He will protect you. He will secure you. He will do everything to make sure that you are okay. And the only day you will fail is the day He turns His back on you. That's the way of spirit. So if you have anything that is injuring you, take this message today. Don't sleep. 11 p.m. this night, start your prayer. Go, 12, start. Do it 30 minutes for the next 6 months. Do it. You are the one that knows what you don't want your children to fight this battle. So start. Don't be lazy. How many of us know that 12 midnight, we are still online with that small device? Yeah. Huh? But you are always claiming that your battery is low. Low doing what? Is he watching Pastor Gwinga's message? People have preached this message that I'm telling you now in America, and they got canceled because they spoke against witchcraft. But before they cancel me, I'm going to bound they become. Before they cancel me, I will cancel them. Satan is bringing fresh apostles. We are seeing them on Facebook, tying white and red clothes. And you think God is not raising His own apostles? They play. Come on, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus. I want you to declare, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, over my family, over my bloodline, in the name of Jesus. Father, cleanse my bloodline. Father, cleanse my bloodline. In the name of Jesus, I bring myself and I bring my family out of every negative pattern. Out of every negative pattern. In the name of Jesus. Now begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus.